this mobilization is quite important for us as physiotherapists, and there are some things that you should understand when it comes to joint mobilization. First off, you need to be able to assess if a joint is hypermobile, normal, or hypermobile. And there is an ordinal scale usually used for joint mobility. It's a scale of 0 to 6. 0 means the joint is ankylosed, so you do not want to mobilize it at all. 1 means extremely hypermobile, so you want to mobilize in that instant. 2 means slightly hypermobile, so you could mobilize and manipulate as tolerated by the patient. 3 means normal. 4 means the slightly hypermobile, so you just want to. Usually, when the joint is hypermobile, usually you'd see hypomobility in the adjacent joints. For example, if the elbow is hypermobile, then you need to check the glenohumeral joint for hypomobility, just to confirm all of that. And you also want to place the patient on exercises, close chain exercises. You want to do taping and bracing and things like that. For 5 is extremely hypermobile. You do almost the same thing you did with 4. 6 is unstable. I mean, the joint is like unstable. So extremely hypermobile. The only thing you can do in this instance is plating, bracing, or even surgical fixing. Okay. One major rule when you're trying to mobilize is that you shouldn't mobilize above the pain threshold of the patient. Don't try to inflict pain on the patient because you're just trying to mobilize the joint. So it should be within their pain threshold. Also, you do not want to mobilize a joint that is infected, or there's an inflammation going on, or cancer, malignancy, and things like that. So that means conditions like infectious arthritis, malignancy, ankylosis, osteomyelitis, septic arthritis, and things like that. You do not want to mobilize that joint. All right, so now let's run through common joints in the body and the concave and convex. You need to understand the concave and convex rule. So concave means that the joint, if the concave moves on the convex, it means that you glide in the direction of the concave. And if the convex is the one moving, you glide in the opposite direction. Humeral ulnar joints at the elbow. The ulna is a concave, the humerus is a convex. For the finger joints, the MCP, even the toe, the MCP, metacarpophalangea, the MTP, metatarsophalangea, the interphalangeal joint. Usually the distal one, the distal joint is usually the concave, the proximal joint is the convex. For the hip, the acetabulum is a concave, the femur is a convex, obviously. For the subtalar joint, the talus is a concave, the calcaneus is a convex. So this thing changes based on how one moves, actually. Let me give you an example. So the concave-convex rule of how you glide and what kind of glide is going on in at each joint differ based on which of the bones are moving in that instance. For example, let's consider the knee joint where the femur is the convex surface and the tibia is a concave surface. If you are doing an open chain full arc knee extension exercise where your leg is dangling, you're seated on a table, high sitting, your legs are dangling and you're doing like full knee extension, so you're moving your tibia on a fixed femur, so your concave is the one moving, so the glide is in direction of the concave. But if you're doing a squat where your femur is moving in the direction of it's the one moving while the tibia is fixed, then it's the convex moving on the concave. Alright, so briefly, let's talk about how you glide. The hip, the shoulder, and the knee joint, those are like the most common joints we often glide at the clinic. For the hip joint, if you want to So you glide inferiorly to gain flexion. If the patient has limitation in flexion, you glide inferiorly. You glide anteriorly for extension and external rotation. You glide posteriorly for flexion and internal rotation. You glide medially for abduction and external rotation. You glide laterally for adduction and internal rotation. So I found a way to make this easier. Fadir, F-A-D-I-R, and Eber, E-A-B-E-R, they go together. So F-A-D-I-R, flexion, adduction, and internal rotation, they often go together. While extension, abduction, and external rotation often go together. Okay. So for the shoulder, if you want to gain elevation, anything that elevates the shoulder, like anterior horizontal flexion of the shoulder or full abduction of the shoulder, you want to glide inferiorly. And another thing I forgot to mention, there's another motion called rolling at the joints level. So rolling is usually the opposite direction of the glide. So if you glide inferiorly, you are rolling superiorly. For the shoulder, if you want to gain external rotation, you need to glide anteriorly and roll posteriorly. If you want to gain internal rotation, you want to glide posteriorly and roll anteriorly. For the knee joint, if you want to gain knee extension, where the tibia is the one moving forward, then you want to glide anteriorly. If you want to gain knee flexion, you want to glide posteriorly. Just understanding which one is moving. So the most important thing to understand is which one is the concave, which one is the convex, and you should be able to mobilize and glide in the right direction based on what exactly it is you're trying to achieve with the patient.